Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at fivestarchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Welcome to the show. This is Dr. Homebrew, and we're back in the studio to talk homebrew, talk beer, and probably complain a little bit, I'm not going to lie. We got the results from the first round of NHC, and I'm going to bitch a little bit, just a smidge. I'm going to be much more metered than I was last time. I decided to complain about my first round NHC scores, but, you know, You got to do what you got to do sometime, Brian, you know what I mean?
The judges might be listening.
I hope the judges are fucking listening. I sent an email, not to my judges, because most of them didn't leave any comment or leave any contact information, but to the organizer. And I was like, I know you're getting some static, bro, but I'm going to have to add to it. I'm sorry. And then I gave him static.
When static is needed to be given, you must give it.
And so, I mean, I wasn't mean, but I was very fair, and I just explained what I didn't like about it, and I let them know I'm very unhappy with how things went down. Anyway, before we get into all of that, two beers. We do. We have sponsors. We have beers to talk about. We have a whole bunch of stuff, Brian.
Oh, wow.
We have two beers today. We have an Imperial Stout and a wheat beer. A wheat beer.
That's quite a,
it's a weird juxtaposition. Right, and you know what? I just kind of went down the line. I was like, oh, I'll just contact this guy and this guy and put the times together. And then I realized when I got in, I was like, oh, that's, that's probably not cool.
I'm going up against that guy?
Yeah.
And we're doing the Imperial Stout first, right, as well.
Yes.
Which makes a lot of sense as
well,
judges.
Why not? Yeah. Why wouldn't we? Yeah. Why wouldn't we?
We now have our checklist score sheets here we're doing. So we're going to say high, medium, or low for everything that we taste.
Done. I think that's great.
I checked the box.
Before we get to box ticking, I want to thank Five Star Chemicals. You can go to fivestarchemicals.com, learn about everything you need to do to make great beer at home. I was using a bunch of PBW. You know what? This is what I simultaneously hate and love about homebrewing when you have to go buy chemicals. Like, I was using a bunch of PBW for cleaning because I brewed my second round entry, I suppose, the other day. And I was like, oh, I'm running out of PBW. So I go to the store and I buy some. Then I come back and I use it. And I had more than enough to complete that round of cleaning. But so I hated it because I now have a 4-pound jar of PBW at my house, but at the same time I love it because now I know I'll never run out for like 3 months, and it's great.
No, my buddy bought the big jug.
I buy the 5-gallon pail every time I buy it.
I think he bought a big box or something, and he pieced it off for friends at the homebrew club meeting.
Yeah.
About a pound. And we all walked out with like a baggie full of white powder.
That's right. Hope you guys got pulled over.
We did. Yeah.
So anyway, Five Star, pretty cool. If you see them at NHC, please go up to them and say hi. Thank them for sponsoring this show.
Man, that's next month already.
I know, dude. It's coming up fast, man. But I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be fun. So thank you to Five Star. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Bigly.
Five Star rocks.
All right, I have like a couple minutes to complain right now. So here's my complaint about the first round of NHC. My Pivo beer, my smoke beer or whatever, 3.3% beer. I thought it was pretty dead nuts on the style. I'm not saying it was a 50-point beer, but reading the style guidelines and comparing that to the beer, I got a 31.5 out of that beer. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm not complaining so much about that. The judge was not a judge at all. He didn't leave his email address at all. And he every box that he could, he ticked alcohol. And phenols.
I honestly, I had a Rauch beer in the same competition, and I had the same exact sort of experience. I scored a 30, and you guys tasted that beer, and
yeah.
I don't think it was a 30, and whatever. You know, we all been through judging, but I had there was no feedback really at all. I think they wrote one word. I think someone wrote plastic or something on it, which is not even true. But that's all I wrote. It was like one word out of the two score sheets they had, and you know, for a while I was for this checklist sort of thing, just because it's like, hey, this competition's about actually advancing, and if you want feedback, do another competition. But at least give me something. At least some there's a room for comments there. So at least right at the end, like. Good beer, you need to do this better. Like, something at least, just to explain why. Like
something, dude. Yes.
Like, on this show, like what's going on? Imagine, like, we're presented with a beer on this show. JP's like, all right, steer us out to sea with this beer, Brian. I say, malty.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Put boxes. I don't want to go through that.
So, like, in aroma, he gives me medium for malt. That's a 3.3% beer. There is no medium malt aroma, but that's fine. Then hops, I get a check mark in low and like the next one up, right? So it's there's six, yeah. Right? So low and kind of high. Okay, whatever. That's fine. Esters, I get low. Phenols, I get low. Alcohol. In the aroma, he smelled alcohol in a 3.3% beer, smoked beer.
He must have a hell of a nose.
Right?
This guy should take over my spot in the
Was
show.
Was he judging next to the barley wines?
Sweetness. I got two tick boxes in low for a 3.3% beer. That beer is dry as fuck. I'm sorry. Acidity. And then over here where you can do, like, you can tick in malt, hops, esters, or other, there's actually a spot for smoke. That is not ticked. And I got an I got an 8 out of aroma. So for me, I'm going and I understand now that the first round is not for me to get feedback on the beers. But at least I want a justification for why I got an 8. Yeah. Explain to me why. And these tick boxes don't tell me shit. It doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah.
For flavor, he ticked alcohol. Apparently, alcohol is a flavor now you can taste. Acidity, there's a tick mark in low for harshness. That beer was harsh, apparently. On the low side of harsh. Hops, again. Anyway, I got an 11. It was bready, grainy, earthy, woody. And smoke, and malty. But all of those should have been in that beer. That's the beer. It's the fucking beer. But I got an 11 out of it. So
I think that, you know, a good judge can fill out a regular score sheet as fast as your typical judge filling out a, you know, a checkbox score sheet. And I'm pretty thorough with those things. I go through everything and, you know, I mean, some of them will just go through and kind of check what they're tasting and skip certain things. That's not cool, too, but it takes a lot of time to go through and look at every single box and think about each single attribute in there. And it gives you – it does – I will say it gives you a lot of information that you could write out in words the same way.
It's a good reminder. I was actually looking at mine while I was judging these beers last night, and I'm like, hey, I forgot about that. That's kind of cool that I saw that. Yeah. But, like, how hard is it to say, is this appropriate for – like, overall, how is it doing towards appropriateness for style, or is there a major flaw? Like, put that down there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard to say – everything's really appropriate for style. The smoke may be a little bit low or a little bit high or you know.
Or I don't understand. My head is too far up my ass for me to understand the style of this beer.
On mine, they missed some of the check boxes, so that was even better.
Yeah.
The last category, they just missed all the check boxes altogether. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like,
well, and,
you know, they didn't bother. They didn't feel like finishing up. So they must have been tired. And I'm here complaining, and I'm a master judge, and I could be up there, you know, helping them judge, and I didn't do it. So,
so it's your fault.
In some way, it's like I should have been judging your beer.
You should have.
God
damn it. So the second beer that he paired, the second judge was paired off with him was a national rank. Again, no judge email. The national rank judge can smell alcohol and acidity. So that's cool. He gave me an 8 out of aroma, but he actually ticked smoke and under malt, he checked burnt. There's burnt malt. Burnt malt! Sorry. There's no email. I have his judge number. I'm not going to read it out loud. But then flavor.
I think you ran out of stickers because I had some of his stickers on my.
He could have written out his email, for God's sakes. He's not crippled. And then for flavor, I got a 10. A 10. Even though the balance was even, there's smoke. And, oh, apparently there were high phenols, which could come through at the smoke, right? I mean, it's not inappropriate for that for a smoke beer to have phenols.
Yeah, I mean, the burnt one.
Burnt malt in the aroma, but not flavor, so that's cool, I guess, right? But, and see, in this guy, in the mouthfeel, the finish is dry. So how is it dry if you checked low sweetness? And then there's astringency in the mouthfeel. Anyway, and I got a 7, but everything is medium for accuracy to style. I don't even know. The problem is I don't know what style they judge this under, what categories or how they do this, where they lump everything together, because it wasn't under 27E or whatever it was. They lumped it under other smoked beers.
Yeah, the AHA is a little weird in the way they organize stuff. I'm not a huge fan of the way they pick and choose. I think it's mostly based on keeping the categories kind of even. So that last year was the first year of using the new guidelines. So they took all the numbers from last year and tried to mix them up so that it have different, you know, the categories to be somewhat even. Because I think last year they had everything under specialty, and it was like 2-1 every region, especially the other categories. So it was just a clusterfuck in that category. I mean, you know, it's pretty funny as well. You're complaining, and I'm complaining too, and you had a beer go through to the second round. Well, so imagine somebody else out there who didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so the beer, and I won't belabor the fact too much, but the beer that went through the second round got a 38, which I think is really low for getting a second, but well, I'm not going to complain about it. But this guy actually, Kevin, he actually wrote words. He actually could form complete sentences with hand and a writing implement, and told me exactly what he liked about the beer, and
Kevin.
what was
flawed. For Keith.
That's right.
It was actually me. I can't.
It was him. He's signing off, Kevin, on everything now.
I mean, so he gave me a 46, and the other guy gave me a 36.
He gave you a 46 and 36. That's pretty interesting.
No, 40. Sorry, 40 and a 36.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And then this other guy, Michael, he actually filled things out. These were both. Actually, Kevin isn't a judge. Kevin, you should be a judge, dude, because you actually did a pretty good job, homie. Although I think you're wrong. I'm giving you 15 out of 20 for flavor, but whatever. Anyway, no, I'm stoked that I got a beer go through and actually rebrewed. Yeah. I tweaked the recipe out a little bit, and we're already kind of running late, so I won't really.
It's good, GP. Yeah. This is the first time you get to see how judging actually works by seeing these score sheets. I know you've never seen it on this show or anything, so it's good that you get a chance to actually
see it. I thought about that. Maybe I am a little biased about it because we see it every month. We sit here and talk about it. And don't forget, I'm a judge. I've done the thing. I've done the stuff. And I just, it was beaten in my head. Like, you explain yourself. It's basically show your work. And the fact, and I just, I don't know, I didn't really like the fact that, there were non-ranked BGCP judges, that it took 2 weeks, that there was a bunch of issues with what was going on, and they didn't explain themselves. I don't care what happens, just explain yourself. If you tell me that you taste banana peels, that's fine, that's what you taste, I understand, but explain to me that that's why you gave me a low score. That's what I didn't like. I just want explanation.
You know, there were some issues with Northern California competitions kind of conflicting with each other, and people, you know, things being moved, and there was some a little bit of chaos this year in the NorCal judging world, so I did hear about some of that, and hopefully it'll be addressed and just work itself out next year.
It's a lot of work. I mean,
amount of work. I appreciate all those people that take on those comps.
Yeah. I was the judge coordinator in Pittsburgh 1 year, the only year we ever had the nationals there for the first round, and it took us 8 days to do it, and we did it every single night for 8 days, and that last day it was over. We were just like, thank fucking God, this is over right now. Yeah. You know, it was just so much work, and you need a big judge base, and I think a lot of people here were burned out, like you said, because of other competitions going on, and we're both to blame. We didn't go up and help them out there either. So,
and what do you do about it, right? Do you limit the amount of entries per region at that point? Like, I feel like you should get a letter of commitment from judges 6 months before your region opens.
Well, a lot of it's a state fair. they didn't realize, you know, they've been doing this for a while, and they never had State Fair competing against them, and they moved State Fair from what, like July to...
Yeah.
That's what
March.
I mean. But that's what I mean. Like, get a letter of commitment from the judges. Hey, I will be there on this date. This is when we're doing it. And then the AHA goes, okay, you have enough judges to be able to have this as a region. Otherwise, we'll just ship it to, you know, San Diego or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's the real solution, but I don't... Yeah. I just... to me, it's not my problem if you don't have enough judges. If you don't have enough judges, then don't bring in geeks off the street to taste my beer when this is like the national competition. If it was a state fair, I wouldn't give a shit. But this is the nationals, man. Everybody wants to make it through. And
yeah, I don't know that it was for lack of effort. I know they reached out a lot.
Yeah.
But, and when we did it, I mean, we did it for in Lodi and then in Pleasanton when we did the regionals. And we were like, we made nice glossy postcards to mail out to judges and like, hey, you're invited to judge in this prestigious competition, has a medal on it. And I was like, my judge coordinators were like, I'm having trouble getting all the judges I need. Let's just go all out and just, you really have to these days. And I think there's so many more competitions now that it's even harder for the people that are doing it. I'd hate to be in their shoes because it's, yeah,
absolutely,
so many competitions competing for the judges' time.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well,
nobody wants to fill out those checklist score sheets, so they never.
No, start. They're garbage. Anyway,
no.
that's my rant. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Taylor, who has an Imperial Stout. And yeah, it's Dr. Homebrew, not Dr. Complain Brew.
Oh.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, we are back, my friends. We are back, and we're ready to talk to Taylor as soon as I push this little button. But before we do that, I do want to tell you guys, I want to remind you guys, that tickets are now on sale for the 39th Annual National Homebrewers Conference, a.k.a. HomebrewCon. Join your homebrewing comrades this June 15th through 17th in Minneapolis, the city of lakes, apparently, for three unforgettable days of learning, camaraderie, and delicious beer. Space is limited, so be sure to register now at homebrewcon.org. Watch me win a medal.
This might be my
year.
They have some lakes there in Minnesota, don't
oh,
you know?
For fun.
Yeah, for fishing.
I've been in the second round like three times now, and
cool.
This is my third. I want to win something, but knowing me and the sad fucking bastard that I am, is I will be disappointed if I get a bronze. Because I just hate myself, apparently. I will be like, oh, well, it's not a fucking silver or gold.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. All right. Taylor, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. Yeah, how you doing, dude?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty all right.
Nice. So we had you on last month with an IPA, yeah?
Yeah, the big diacetyl bomb. Yeah, that was fun.
Hey, man.
That was
your,
a good time.
Your words, dude, not mine, okay?
Keith, did you get any diacetyl in the stout?
No diacetyl today.
Hey,
no diacetyl, yeah. I'm telling you, that beer last time was awful.
Yeah.
How'd you score on that in the Nationals, the diacetyl IPA? How'd that go?
What's that?
How was the diacetyl IPA in the Nationals? How'd you score on
Did you enter it?
Oh, they were kind enough to give me an 18, so that was cool.
Wow.
I'm shocked they didn't give me a big old fat zero on it, so.
Well, no, they have a low point threshold. It's usually 13, so.
No, okay. Well, I'm five above.
If you're above 13, yeah. You're not. It's not the worst beer they've ever had.
It was probably the worst I've ever had.
So this is an Imperial Stout. Tell me a little bit about this beer before we start judging it.
I brewed this one back in December. It was kind of my play on that whole Mexican hot chocolate thing, except I didn't do the chili powder. So I went with the original design was like cinnamon, chocolate, and coffee was what I wanted. And I don't want to get too much into it until after I hear the feedback, because it's kind of a funny recipe, but it was just my play on that whole cinnamon, chocolate, coffee stout thing.
Yeah, we judged it as an Imperial Stout. We didn't see any declared ingredients, and it was marked as a normal 20C, so that's just what we judged it as.
Yeah, and when I wrote the email out and sent even the sheet, I said that I should probably do it as a 30A. Which is what I sent it to NHC as is a 30A.
Oh, good. Okay, then, yeah, you can let us know how it did there when we're done. But, it might have made a lot more sense there.
Yeah, sorry. I thought I wrote it on the sheet that it was kind of a question mark. I was in between where I should put it or not, and we decided 30A was the best. So.
Good, yeah. And it came with another label for the Homebrew Comp that was like, just regular 20C.
Right.
I mean, maybe you changed your mind and reprinted the labels for the ones you sent.
I did actually the night before we sent them out.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, you're already going for it, man. Why don't you start us off?
You know, in the nose, it has a pleasant little bit of roast in there, but it's very nutty, and it's a very big. We ever had carob. It's like. It's kind of a plant that's meant to taste kind of like chocolate, but it doesn't taste like chocolate. It has kind of a carob-y kind of cocoa-like note up front. There's just a lot of chocolate, but the roast is kind of hiding behind some of these other things. No hops. It shouldn't have a big hop there. Medium-low esters. No DMS. No diacetyl. Hints of kind of diner coffee. I'm getting a very low dark fruit, but not much of that at all. It seems clean. The balance is interesting. I was trying to pick at what's there. There's a lot of nuttiness, almost like peanut butter, and the appearance, it has a rich tan colored head covering a deep black body, really dark, opaque, and the head faded after a short while. This one we poured tonight didn't really have any head at all. It just poured kind of flat, and so. You should throw up a little bit of a head on this thing and have kind of a creamy appearance to it. But the head had a kind of medium-sized bubbles. There was a little bit of a collar on it, but not too much. Just kind of, there's a little, you can't rouse it. I mean, it shouldn't be super carbonated, but yeah. No obvious legs either on the beer. I don't know. It's, not sure how strong it is there, but or how much residual sweetness is left in it. We'll get to that too. Flavor wise, I'd say it's rich, it's richly malty. It's but it's balanced less toward the roast and more towards that nuttiness. A little bit of coffee and a big cocoa carob kind of flavor. Lightly ashy in the background. But yeah, the balance is of course way to the malt. Fermentation seems okay. It finishes medium dry to me, which is maybe a little drier than I'd want. A little more sweetness left in the body. It's leaning towards dry almost. So some obvious clean alcohol. No hops. Low hop bitterness, and there's some substantial bitterness from the dark malts in here too. So it's kind of, you know, it's a bitter beer, but there's not any obvious hop bitterness in there, so it's kind of out of the way, which is good too. Mouthfeel wise, it's full bodied beer, but it's not too viscous. It's kind of medium smooth alcohol warming. It's not biting or harsh, which is kind of nice. It's not too hot. Low carbonation, slight creaminess, not too much, only a hint of astringency, maybe from those dark malts again. But yeah, overall, I just thought this was, it's a very big imperial stout. It's got a massive cocoa element and like a huge kind of nuttiness in there, peanut buttery. It's also a bit drier than I hoped, so it'd be nice to leave a hint more sweetness for a better balance in there. Or, you know, I don't know if this was dry nibbed or not, but you could, if you declared it as dry nibbed for the competition, which you very well may have, we'll find out, it would probably score better. But I scored it at a 30 just as an imperial stout. It's a pretty clean beer. It has a lot going for it, but it's just mostly balance issues and just kind of leans in kind of a funky way. But it's definitely not an unpleasant beer to drink. I enjoyed sipping it, and it's big, and you can feel it in your throat, and it's, you know,
yeah,
it's a good beer. But yeah, there you go.
What'd you give it? Oh, sorry?
30.
Okay.
13?
30, even.
Oh, 30. Okay. Yeah. I think you said 13.
You give Taylor a heart attack, dude.
Jeez. Just a mild one for a second. Yeah. I thought I missed
30. That's all right. You'll recover just fine. All right, Keith, yeah. Go for it, dude.
So the aroma is a mild heart attack. So I got a medium hazelnut, medium peanut character on the aroma. Interesting, definitely. A little bit of vanilla, light chocolate, no hops, a little bit of coffee as well. Clean fermentation overall, just maybe some light apple esters, but not much there in terms of picking up esters or anything off-flavored at all, so that was great. Appearance, black with a very, very dark brown head, but my bottle last night poured kind of the same way, which was not much head at all. Just a little bit of a lacing around the collar, pretty much of the glass. Opaque, really, really dark, obviously. Flavor-wise, got a deep, dark chocolate flavor. It reminded me of like a dark cocoa, like unsweetened cocoa in terms of flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has kind of a very dry finish because of that.
Chewing on a baker's chocolate bar, right?
yeah, exactly. And that, some of that nutty character comes through in the flavor as well. And I also got this mint, a little bit of a mint zing at the end, too.
Like a spearmint thing?
Yeah, like a spearmint, yeah. Mm. And it's not in the aroma or not so much even up front in the flavor, but it's more of in the finish. I got a little bit of mintiness there.
I have to dig for that.
No hop flavor. Once again, pretty clean in terms of fermentation, not getting anything off there at all. And also a little bit of coffee as well. I always love when Brian talks about diner coffee. I'm not sure I drink a lot of diner coffee enough. I got to spend more time in diners and drinking
free
diner coffee.
Free refills, man.
Yeah, I got to make some crappy coffee at home maybe and figure that out.
Yeah, no, that was my days before they opened good coffee shops all over the place.
Mouthfeel, a touch of astringency, low warming, medium high body, and low carbonation. Thought maybe the body, I'd like to see a little more body on this. And like I said, just especially, you know, the drying sort of character as well. Maybe it's coming across as astringency, and a little bit of the dark malt there too is creating that perception. I think it's an interesting beer. I think for me, the hardest part was getting through was the nuttiness. It reminded me, I made a peanut butter porter before, and it reminded me a lot of that. And as thinking of it as an imperial stout just on its own, that nuttiness just seemed a little out of place. So that was one flaw that I thought overall impression. I kind of agreed with Brian that it was a little bit dry. I would love to see some more sweetness. So I would up it with some more character malt, maybe some lactose, maybe just maybe a little bigger even. Something to kind of keep that sweetness around in the finish because it comes off as kind of dry and sort of puckering at the end. I don't mean puckering, but just sort of lingering sort of dryness. Like I said, like you're talking about the baker's chocolate sort of flavor in your mouth.
Yeah, that's going to help it. That'll bring it up. You know, if you bring it up, the strength won't hurt it. So that would bring up the sweetness too.
Cool. And that's pretty much it. My overall score was a 27.
Okay. Taylor, so why don't you tell us how these scores lined up with your NHC returns, if you indeed have those.
And how it was declared for that.
Yeah, I declared as a 30A. And actually, Keith, you were dead on. I actually use hazelnut coffee. Because that's true to the style of Mexican chocolate I was going after. And then vanilla beans, cocoa nibs, and then even more cinnamon in secondary. I did that for 2 weeks. And after tasting right before NHC, we decided to actually declare it as a chocolate peanut butter coffee stout. So that's what we declared.
That's cool. I love the fact that you tasted something and then chose what to enter it as by what it tasted like. So go ahead. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We entered it to what we tasted instead of what actually it was attempting to brew. And they gave me a collective 33 on it. So
that's really good. Yeah. I mean,
we're a little lower than that because of the balance and the trying to fit it into the style.
But I think we would go higher.
They
as
weren't.
Well,
I mean, both
those.
You guys were kind of thrown off by the nuttiness and the hazelnut. And you know, when I claimed and the peanut butter, which there's no peanut butter in it, but you know, it tasted like peanut butter. They're like, oh yeah, it's peanut butter, and so they just moved right past it. So
yeah,
it's pretty neat.
If it tastes like that, yeah, go ahead and declare it.
I'm actually drinking it right here with you guys.
Yeah,
so.
Cool.
Awesome.
It's a very enjoyable beer. I think it's nice and smooth. You did a really good job with your fermentation, keeping your yeast happy. No problems there. Much better than IPA.
I wanted to keep it a little sweeter, and I knew I was using a lot of roast and even the coffee. And I actually pulled it at 1029 is what I pulled it at because I didn't want it to let it go too much lower. So how would – I mean, other than – I really didn't want to throw lactose in it just because I didn't want to mess with the creaminess too much because I did want that big, bold kind of stout. How else would you recommend sweetening it up just with boosting up the alcohol on it and making it perceive sweeter that way?
Because, you get a little sweetness from the alcohol and it's going to finish higher. So
right. Double.
If the alcohol is this clean and stays this clean, that would be fine. It's an imperial can go way up. What was your starting gravity?
I started at 1094.
Okay. Yeah, you can go up towards 1100 and be fine.
Right.
And some of them can finish in the 1030s and, you know, no problem. I've had some great ones in the 1030s, yeah.
Yeah, the one you tasted recently that I made, it was like third and best of show at the competition, the barrel age one. It was like 1120 to start, and I finished at like 1036 or 1038, something like that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to be an imperial stout, and then Brian tasted it. He's like, this tastes like more like a sweet stout to me, so I ended up entering it as an imperial sweet stout, thanks to Brian's recommendation. And it did a lot better that way than it would have been as an imperial stout. But yeah, it's kind of finding that, like tasting it and saying what, you know. But I think for us, like just for tasting wise, I think making it a little bit bigger would easily make it, you know, give that sweetness that, you know, versus, you know, adding lactose or something like that. I'm not sure what else, you know.
I mean, you can more
vanilla. You know, I don't want to put way more vanilla in this. You said you had some vanilla. Is that true? I forget what you said.
I didn't want the vanilla to shine, but I've heard that vanilla in small notes can actually carry chocolate make the chocolate more bright. So I just used the vanilla as just a way to carry that.
Gotcha.
That might be what it did, yeah.
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 Interesting. The chocolate is big, and it is shining through really, really strongly. So the cinnamon doesn't come through to me very much at all.
I didn't get the cinnamon either.
I didn't either, and that's why I didn't claim it. I just let it kind of fall out.
Background-y,
perceived it as probably some of the bitters and maybe some of that biting astringency that you got off of it.
What did you use
for
cinnamon?
Might have been that.
Sorry,
I put the cinnamon stick in with 5 minutes left in the boil.
Okay, yeah. I really like Saigon cinnamon.
I think I did one more in secondary too.
Okay,
I really like Saigon cinnamon. It also gives you a little bit of sweet character versus like a traditional cinnamon stick. Like Saigon cinnamon has this nice sweetness to it. So if you're thinking about this beer again, give that a shot. It's an interesting
And it's funny tasting this beer and listening to what you were going for because I can kind of taste. I can imagine what the beer you were going for would taste like with the cinnamon a little more prominent, like a Mexican chocolate kind of thing would be really cool if you could get it to work. So you can keep trying to steer it that direction and make a, you know, Mexican coffee chocolate beer, whatever it's – what is it modeled after? Is there a beer like that out there?
There's a couple.
Yeah. Abraxas is one we get around here in the Midwest, but it would just knock my socks off when I had it this year. I can't have enough of it.
I'll have to look for that
Cigar City is the
Hunapu or whatever the hell it's called. I can't remember the pronunciation, but I've done two or three of them myself.
Yeah. All of the bomb back down in Oklahoma, the bomb variants, they do a little.
Clown shoes has one, too. It's like.
And the bomb, you can really taste the chili and the spice. Yeah, it really comes through. All those different flavors somehow come through in that huge.
Yeah, well, I think that was this winter's haze craze thing going.
Yeah.
So. I jumped on the bandwagon of that one just because I really enjoyed it.
You would do that.
It's
typical Taylor. That's what a typical fucking Taylor, dude.
I'm telling you.
Next year's going to be the diacetyl IPA craze, so just get ready. You're
ahead of the curve.
Time right there.
Yeah. No, it's a
where
lot of ingredients.
50% of the grist is buttered popcorn.
I love it.
A lot of ingredients to balance out in this one. So, you know, I'm glad you did what you did. How did you score? I'm glad you did what you did and declared it like you did because that made sense.
You got 33.
That's right.
Collective.
Yeah.
So.
And you didn't pass on to second round?
No, okay. I didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah.
That would have been tough. You couldn't rebrew, that's for sure.
Did they fill out the checklist score sheets properly?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they kind of did. This new checkbox thing is a little funky. I don't get as much feedback as I used to, but, you know. They wrote some notes. Mostly it was all checkboxes, so it is what it is.
That's why you have us.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love writing, and that's part of the reason I'm a judge. And when I'm handed a checkbox, it's like being a data entry clerk. I'm like, okay, let me log the data for this beer.
Right.
It's just so boring.
Right, yeah, and actually, yeah. I'm actually going to judge my first competition coming up. I think it's in June. I'm just going in as an amateur, and I'm going to sit next to our homebrew club as several BJCP judges, and I'll sit next to one of them and kind of learn the ropes and steward for them a little bit, basically be their bitch for the day and try
That's
to
great.
Learn some stuff.
Hey, man, okay. Everyone needs to be a bitch at one point in their life. And remember, it's not what's wrong with the beer, it's what's not to style with the beer.
Right, yeah. And
that's the important thing.
If you don't like that style of beer, don't fucking judge it.
Exactly. Right, that's what Untappd is for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Taylor, if that's it, man, I'll let you go.
Yeah, dude, that's all I got.
All right, cool. Oh,
thanks for sharing. It was a fun beer.
Thanks,
yeah, thanks,
cheers.
Dude.
Cheers.
Later. Oh, I remember him now. I think he was the guy who kept claiming our word, dude.
Dude.
He said dude like 12 times. Like, that's our word,
I forgot
dude.
To ask him about yeast strain and water in that conversation.
You didn't go through your checklist.
He was done. Yeah, that's why, see, checklists are good.
They're important.
Speaking of good things, this is about Grog Tag. Your dad has helped you out over the years, so why not help him out for a change? Get the man some Grog Tags. Head on over to GrogTag.com and design him some custom labels that only a father could love. Or grab a gift certificate and let him get creative. He can choose from dozens of labels for his beer and winemaking, or some custom caps, coasters, or even a metal sign. Whatever he chooses, he'll have you to thank for a change. Head over to GrogTag.com and enter code BNARMY at checkout to take 10% off your next order. That's GrogTag.com. Apparently, Father's Day is coming up.
I hope someday my son will, buy me a beer sign from Grog Tag.
That'd be pretty good, dude.
Maybe he can get you like a Grog Tag cane.
Yeah. Now, he would try to find the one with trains on it, but yeah. No.
Hey, man, he can throw a train on the labels over there.
Yeah,
Grog Tag,
you can throw whatever you want.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a fast break, and then we're going to come back with John, talk some wheat beer. It's Dr. Homebrew. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the 5-star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, Sam Vanker.
Students, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for staying with us. And then I was mixing that with thanks for tuning in. We should have John on the line. John, are you with us, my friend?
Dr. John.
I'm here.
All right, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. How are you?
Not too bad myself. We are twins today. And you sent in a wheat beer, which we haven't had too many wheat beers on the show, have we? This isn't really not a style that's well represented on our show, so I'm kind of glad.
I like that.
Right on.
How long have you been homebrewing, man?
Only about a year, actually.
Okay.
So I started, last year, about this time.
Oh, wow. It's like an anniversary beer.
Kind of got thrown into the deep end. I was sort of gifted my father-in-law's setup, so I went straight into all grain, straight into kegging.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, are you fermenting in plastic buckets with extract? No, you just jumped in it.
Nope.
God, why didn't I do that? Yeah. I taught my brother how to homebrew, and he started off all grain. Like, I just showed him how to do it. He's like, oh, this is pretty easy. You know, if you just have someone show you how to do it, it's not that bad.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you a big fan of wheat beer? This is an American wheat, right? It's clear and all that
kind
of stuff.
It is, yeah.
Is that your kind of go-to style?
I'd say my go-to is more the IPA, but I do love a good wheat, and this has kind of become a favorite of the wives of the ones that I've made. So
there you go.
The
wives that you made?
Keep it around.
The wives
that you made?
Oh.
This is his wife's favorite beer that he has made.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, no weird science going on?
No, yeah, that'd be great, because then I want the recipe for wives. That'd be amazing. All right, well, Keith, why don't you go ahead and figuratively jump into John's beer?
It's better than literally doing it, I imagine.
Maybe. Okay. We don't know. There's not enough of it.
Okay, it was served in a stubby bottle. Just wouldn't call that out. Like, just, you know, on a score sheet, you always list with, you know, comments about the bottle inspection. So no problem there. Just wanted to mention that just for fun. Okay, so I got a medium citrusy hop character. Reminds me of pineapple orange and maybe a little bit of a tropical note there, too. Maybe mango or a little bit of passion fruit. Moderate light grainy character, slightly bready. Low sweet malt. Overall, the yeast character is very clean. I'm getting, as it warmed last night when I was drinking this, a little bit of a tea-like character from the hops, I believe. Overall, though, I think mostly the style, but I think a little bit high in terms of hop character. Sorry. Color-wise, deep gold. Pretty deep gold. I would say it's a little bit high in terms of, you know, color for style. I think American wheats are usually a little bit lighter than this. Whitehead, not pours. It's really white. It's great color foam around the, but not a really big pour initially. You know, not a big head initially, but it is a really long lasting head. But I would expect to see a little bit bigger head right out of the gate there. Nearly brilliantly clear, which is acceptable. This one looks, I think my room where I was judging last night was a little bit dark. It's a little bit, maybe not quite brilliantly clear, but pretty darn clear. Looks pretty, pretty. Sorry. Medium low malt sweetness, slightly doughy character. Again, getting that citrus hop. Orange and pineapple.
in some ways, in that the tropical character is reminiscent of like sort of a Sauvignon Blanc sort of wine, and it also finishes pretty dry like that as well. Although the balance overall, you know, balance overall leans towards the hops in this beer. One second. Getting a tiny bit of oxidation, a little bit of cardboard, a little papery. Finish is fairly dry, but there's, I mean, there's a good amount of sweetness. So I think actually the balance is nearly even in this beer. Getting just a hint of saltiness from the water. Mouthfeel, slightly astringent finish. Getting a little bit of grape skin character from that. Medium low carbonation. Thought the carbonation could be a little bit higher for the style. And no warming and a medium low body. So overall impression, I really enjoy the hop character. I really like the way that orange and pineapple jumped out with a little bit of the tropical fruit flavor as well. Balance is nearly even. I think that's good as well. I think the carbonation could be bumped up somewhat. And maybe even the water, like I said, the water seems a little bit salty. I'd consider thinking about, you know, your water and you know, ask. I'd love to ask you when we're done with this, what you're doing with water in general, what you're using there. But overall, I think I really liked the beer. I just thought it was a little bit too hop forward for an American wheat. I think it's enjoyable, you know, but in terms of the style, I thought it was a little bit more than moderate. Like an American wheat is generally a moderate sort of hop beer. This was maybe medium high, so a little bit past the moderate range. Overall, though, I would enjoy sitting around outside on a warm warm evening or day drinking this beer. So I gave it a 32.
Perfect. Right.
I mean, you know, this hop creep affects us all. I have a pale ale here in my hand that I got poured for me at the bar that tastes like the hops of an IPA. I'm like, it's a session IPA.
Oh, right.
It's called a pale ale now. So hop creep affects us everything a little bit differently. And I think that Americans just overhop everything. Any pills that you get from an American brewery is going to just have way too many hops in it. If you went to Germany, had the same thing. An American wheat, probably the same thing. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay,
so you're done with your sports.
Yeah, what did you give him then? Yeah,
I liked the aroma on this beer a lot. I thought it had a pleasant, weedy, bready, grainy aroma up front. I did get a medium low citrusy hop, which kind of poked out there a little bit. But to me, it wasn't offensive. It didn't come through like the level of a pale ale, or it wasn't like, wow, there's just all kinds of tangerine and limes in here. It wasn't like that. Not a fruit punchable. Clean ale fermentation. Very clean. Moderate apple, pear, fruity esters. No DMS or diacetyl. It's pretty clean. I'm trying to dig for the oxidation. I'm not getting a big cardboard here or anything like that. It seemed clean to me. Appearance-wise, it's a light gold with a... I did see a slight haze. This one's... Yeah, the same thing. You can see through it pretty clearly, but it's got a slight haze to it.
Didn't it light gold, though? It was a little bit darker than light gold to me.
Like,
it looks like a
medium gold?
I think it was medium dark gold. But yeah.
Okay.
Not the nitpick.
Yeah. The head was a low white-colored foam stand, mostly finer bubbles, but yeah, it did fade to a surface cover pretty quickly. And but it was fairly easily roused, too, so... Yeah, I knocked it down a point on the appearance, but you can have a little haze in these. That's fine. That it wasn't for the haze. Just yeah, the head should pop up there and stick up for a while. Flavor wise, very pleasant and flavorful malt notes. A bready, wheat like quality to it. It finishes medium dry, not too much sweetness. To me, that gave it a nice balance. The malt comes across with a lot of nice. Grainy flavors, a little bit of wheat-like, and just, you know, bread, and not too much sweetness, making it too syrupy or something. So in that way, it was nice and refreshing. Definitely a clean fermentation. Low bitterness, as hoped. Low citrusy hop note. And just a malty, dry aftertaste. It dries off, and the malt stays there with you for quite a while. So it's a very flavorful beer for an American wheat, which I think it was normally kind of a boring beer that I don't drink that often.
It really is.
it was one of the harbingers of the craft beer renaissance. That, you mm-hmm. know, I was like, here's a wheat beer. Here's an American wheat beer. Taste this next to a freaking Budweiser. And it's,
right. And it's got a lot of flavor. Similar. It's similar.
No.
Not this one, but American wheat beers.
In general. You know, now it's like...
Like a Widmer.
Seems
like,
so pedestrian. Yeah. But,
right, yeah, for sure.
Now, I also must mention that it was probably still like, 85 or 90, it was warmer at my house where I judged it in the East Bay compared to where Keith lives in San Francisco, and it was probably 50 degrees. So this was hitting the spot for me last night when I was like sipping that, and I'm like, and it was the first beer I judged. I came home from work,
sweaty,
hot,
shit.
Sweaty. Yeah. I want a beer. I'm like, I got to crank through these, Dr. Homebrew beers. Here we go. What do we got? And that hit the spot. It was nice for the moment for me.
Good.
Body-wise, medium light body, medium carbonation, crisp, not very creamy. I didn't get any astringency, really. No alcohol warmth. It was really quite thirst-quenching, and that's what I liked about it. It's just, as declared, just a thirst-quenching wheat beer for a hot summer afternoon.
Yeah.
It's not summer yet, but anyway.
Overall,
nice wheat beer. Excellent brewing techniques and ingredients are obvious. The malt shines through as it should. The dryness is in a nice place. The bitterness is out of the way. It goes down quite smoothly. Could lighten up the color touch. A hint more bitterness wouldn't even hurt it because it was really out of the way. But it's nice as it is. But I would definitely also back off just the aroma hops a little bit because you don't want to drift too much towards, if you want a classic American wheat, you don't want to drift too much towards pale ale category. But I give it a 38. I really like this beer. I thought it was excellent.
All right, 38. That's great. John, you want to go through the recipe real fast before we get into any questions you have for the guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a 10-gallon batch, and there's 9 pounds of wheat malt, white wheat, 9 pounds of two-row, 2 pounds of honey malt, 2 pounds of honey biscuits, and 1 pound of flaked wheat. Of the malts, and then the hops, it's 100% mosaic hops. So it's half an ounce first wort hops, and ounce and a half at 15 minutes, 2 ounces at flame out, and an ounce each in each 5 gallon.
First wort hopping. Interesting.
Yeah, in the 10-gallon.
A wheat beer.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me with some of the things that I said about, patting myself on the back a little bit, but
do you need help?
Tropical
Brian, come over here and pat me on the back.
Okay.
But no, the orange pineapple and just sort of the tropical fruit, like mosaic's known as being sort of like the all hop sort of thing that has all of those flavors in it. So that would kind of explain a lot of those characteristics.
I wouldn't think of it to be a great beer to use in a wheat beer, but it actually does work to me.
Oh, the hops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if anything, the honey malt's a little like to me. There's too much body, so it's not as refreshing as I would want it to be. But it's not. I'm not drinking it. I'm not brewing it for me. So,
and that's giving it a little color too. Yeah, and that might be. I was thinking that might be where you got some of that oxidation.
Exactly.
Thought.
That's exactly what I was thinking now too. After you said that,
when beer starts to
oxidize,
first it goes to honey, then it goes to the paper.
Exactly. You're totally right, Brian. There.
Oh, so
Keith, I was picking up oxidation. It was really just the honey malt.
The honey malt.
After you said honey malt, I'm like, ding,
that
ding,
makes sense.
Ding. And that was exactly it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, hey, John, do you have any questions for the guys here?
So I don't do anything with my water at this point because I'm still getting going on the process. I'm just using our city water, which is pretty clean. I don't have any reports on it, but it's pretty soft city water. So
filtered or straight out of the tap?
You said we're getting some kind of saltiness to that. What would you do to?
Well, I guess John, where are you located? Where on the country?
I'm in Western Washington, so kind of about an hour north of Seattle. So.
Okay. Do you carbon filter your water?
I do not.
You're close to a lot of mountains and stuff.
Yeah, I think I would still, I would definitely, that's nothing to do with saltiness at all, but I would still carbon filter or at least use Camden tabs or something, just because I know there's got to be something in your water supply, either chloramines or chloramines, whatever the pronunciation there is, or chlorine or
chlorars.
Chlorine.
Yeah.
Anything with the CL in it.
Yeah, I think it's great to use a charcoal filter with that or some, you know, just
run it slow.
That's not the saltiness at all.
That's one of the early improvements you make in your home brewing. After about a year, you buy yourself a carbon filter.
Sooner.
Right there, John. You're right there. Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't hurt, like, you know, Ward Labs, which they should be a sponsor for the show. I don't think they are right now, but maybe they're listening and will become. But you can send out a sample there, or somebody, you know, if you're in a club, have the club send out a sample and get, you know, get some, you know, numbers back and see where your sodium is, where your
buy an iDip. That's what you do.
There you go.
Exactly. Go to smartbrewkit.com, buy an iDip.
Right.
And then your whole club can use it, too. Have your club invest in it. All those dues got to go somewhere, right?
Yeah. Make your club pay for it and let you store it at your house because it was your idea.
Yes.
But if you have soft water naturally to start, then it's probably just me being a little bit off more than, you know, I had some Korean barbecue chips right before I tasted the sample right now.
Salty.
Everything we shouldn't do as judges.
Exactly. But, yeah.
I taste barbecue and salt.
What is your club up there?
The Stewie Mashers is the name of the club.
Yeah, we should let everybody give their club a shout out.
Yeah. Why not?
And what kind of yeast did you use in this beer?
This was the Y Yeast 1010, so it's specifically says, you know, American wheat.
Sounds like Widmer or whatever.
Hey,
probably.
Did what it's supposed to, yeah.
Probably derived from an alt yeast originally.
Yeah, and it's they say it gives it a little bit of a tart finish, which I've found, because I've made this another time with USO5, and I like it better with the 1010. It gives a little bit of a tart finish.
Nice, yeah.
Okay.
I'm interested in trying that yeast now after tasting this. So,
yeah. Well, John, if that's it, we'll let you go to bed, man. Well, not to bed.
All right.
It's still pretty early. I'm so used to talking to people on the East Coast and the Midwest where they're like it's like 2:30 in the morning. Can I get on earlier? And I'm like, no.
It's 8:30. Yeah.
You sound tired. Go to bed, John.
Right.
Go to bed.
Thanks, guys.
Just kidding. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, dude.
Thanks for sharing it. Yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
Bye. I liked the beer. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty darn good. Okay, so we're time to do the things.
Now is the time.
We're going to give some stuff away. Not only are we, of course, giving our $40 Grog Tag gift certificate away, but today is the Beer Bug giveaway.
Oh.
We're going to give away a Beer Bug on the show today, and I'm pretty excited about that. So, Brian, you are the keeper of the numbers, young man. Who gets what?
Okay, we're going to give Taylor the Grog Tags.
All right.
Okay.
Taylor, good job, buddy. Nice work.
And John gets the Beer Bug.
All right. Good job, John. Taylor, I think, yay.
The Taylor probably got the Grog Tags last
time,
too.
He can get
a really nice sign now. but that beer was good. Yeah, if we had it declared right. That beer would have made more sense to me. I was tasting it as an Imperial Stout, and I was like, oh, man, something different going on here.
Yeah.
So many different things. What
for
is
sure.
It?
Well, thank you very much to the folks at Beer Bug. You can go to thebeerbug.com and learn more about their device and how they can keep you on track for fermentation, know when to pull your beer, know when to pull your mead, know when to add all your adjuncts and do dry hopping and all that kind of fun stuff. Thebeerbug.com, check them out. They're good dudes. I think they're going to be at NHC as well, so be sure to stop by their booth and learn more. And then, of course, please tell them that you heard about them through our show, specifically Dr. Homebrew, because we're kind of the best. Not really. So Keith is pouring dishwater for everybody.
Dishwater.
I'm quoting.
Give me some.
Destroyer or you know, Dan Behar. Don't become the thing that you hated. And I just did that. Now I made a New England IPA. Which
pour me some, please. If you don't mind, so I can. I need an. I haven't purged in a while, so I need to puke. Thank you. All right, everybody. It's been Dr. Homebrew. Thank you to John, and thank you to Taylor for sending in your beers. Thank you to Grog Tags and GrogTag.com, not specifically plural, but just the website in general, and TheBeerBug.com for being sponsors of the show, and of course, thank you to all our other sponsors. And last but definitely not least, thank you to 5-Star. Go to 5-Star Chemicals. Learn everything about you need to know about things and stuff to clean and sanitize and do all the fun things that real big boy breweries do, but for your home.
And,
because who wants to go into debt?
And thank you to Juicy Cloudy Beer. Take a sip, JP.